Namaste and greetings. I'm shaking because the wind is blowing. I'm outside, enjoying a beautiful spring day. So my hair is gonna flop around. And the wind's gonna blow. But I wanted to share with you some more. And I hope that wherever you are, you find this moment of peace, to be at ease, be fully realized as the stillness that you are. I sometimes look in the mirror and I think, that's not what I look like, you know, or follow the story of my life and I think, that's not what I wanted to do. That's not who I am. I've always felt like I was behind everyone. And when I lived in a comparison sort of narrative or a theming of my life, I always felt let down by myself. Continually feeling like I failed and that I wasn't living up to an expectation. There's that wind I was talking about. Hold on. Let me fix this. There, now it's secure. Difficult. When the wind blows, I've grown up, the whole story of my life was me comparing myself to others around me and feeling like the lesser of, like I've failed myself, that everyone had it figured out, or at least more figured out than me. And that was always disappointing. And because there was attachment to the idea of being something more, or at least being equal to, and that I was failing even in that instance, there's depression and anxiety, frustration, and fear. And even now, even today, I find myself living in those comparative-like structures of thinking. I'm overweight. I'm more overweight than anyone that I know of my friends. And always have been. I've always been the big guy. I'm married and divorced. I never owned a home. I have a very small 401k that kind of meanders out there that I don't put into. I'm not financially stable. I struggle in many ways, but the word struggle is conceptual. Where I was really blessed is through consciousness, through presence, through stillness. And somehow, the wisdom of the universe came to me. And it freed me from all of these connections of failure that I've been telling myself my whole life, that I've been attaching to. When I sit back and view the entire experience with grace, stillness, I recognize there is nothing for me to attach to, that this is truly illusion. And it's illusion I can care for with love and compassion. The Bhagavad Gita teaches us that we are to do actions with without the attachment to the outcome of the action. All of it's being done through Krishna. All that's being done through the Tao, the way. It's all perfection. I remember when I was 16, all of my friends already had driver's licenses and they had long-term girlfriends, and I was still figuring it out. I didn't get my car till a year later. I didn't have a long-term girlfriend till really, maybe even after high school. I had a shorter term, few months of a girlfriend when I was a senior in high school. But everyone else seemed to already have it all figured out. Even my first job, I was thinking about this morning, I worked at a drugstore, and my best friend, he and I actually came in to interview for the job at the same time, and we laughed when we saw each other. We both got the job, and we both worked, but he quit just maybe 6 months after. I stayed there for another 2 years, I think, and I remember when he quit, the manager of the store said, the hardworking ones left. I got this guy left, kind of making a joke about me. And I never figured it out. I never figured out how to be better. And now that guy, my best friend from high school, has owned businesses and makes lots of money, has kids of his own, has owned multiple homes, and he struggles. But he had what seemed to me to have figured it out. He seems to be a genius, truly. Learned to play piano, he's an engineer. I think he knows Chinese. So, when comparing my life to his, I look like I'm always behind. If I really hang on to that idea that there's these standards I should have been meeting and I'm doing it by comparing what's happening in other people's lives, I'll always fall behind, because it's always greener over there. The grass is always greener on the other side. Everyone always has it figured out. And the world tells us, and American culture tells us, that this is how you get to where you need to be. You need to do this, you do this, then you get this. And I fear for a lot of things. And, you know, my partner now fears for a lot of things that, you know, financially, we need to be stable. And if the current administration pulls Social Security away, I'll work until I'm dead. All of these are fears and attachments and comparisons. And at some point, it just strikes one to say, what's real? What am I hanging on to? There's never a solution. And you know, you hear these stories about people who've made lots of money, celebrities, or well-known and well-loved, culturally popular. Sometimes I even do that locally where I think, I don't get a ton of likes in social media for things, or my band isn't as popular, and I hang on to all these comparisons. And all of it is attachment, and all of it creates suffering. But I realized then that when I step back and I step into this place of compassion and openness, stillness of being, where the kingdom of heaven resides within me, where I am one with God, where I am one with the universe, which is my true home and my true nature, I'm at peace. I'm finally at rest. And when I'm there, I can open to the experience of my life with grace, letting it all fall as it will. Ram Dass talks about the concept of so. And so this as well. Nothing to change. Nothing to fix. There's There's a story that comes back over and over again recently for me of the monk living on the top of the hill over the town, and the young woman who engages in sexual activity and becomes pregnant, and she makes love to a sailor or somebody in town, but she's not married, and she's looked down upon in the town because now she's pregnant. And when she gives birth, they ask, who did you have this baby with? And she blames the monk that lives at the top of the hill. And the townspeople all gather up and bring the baby up to the top of the hill, and they knock on the door, the monastery, and the monk opens. They said, you begot this child with this woman. This is your child to take care of. This is your work. This is your responsibility. And the monk says, ah, so. And he takes in the baby, closes the door. 9 years later, the mother of the child is dying. She's on her deathbed, and she doesn't want the guilt of the story on her head. She says, it wasn't the monk. It was a passing sailor who came through town, and I blamed it on the monk because I wanted to put it on someone else. They said, oh boy. And the townspeople went up to the monastery, up to the hill. They knock on the door, and the monk opens up the door, and there's a 9-year-old boy standing beside him. They say, oh, we got this wrong. That it wasn't you. We're sorry, it wasn't you. It was a man passing through town. And she claimed that it's not your responsibility. We'll take the boy back. And the monk says, ah, so. Recognizing that there's always the next thing. Nothing will ever be perfect. Nothing will ever be exactly as you think. And you will always be searching to reach that space where, like, finally I got it figured out. Well, you're already there, and I'm already there. We're already home. It's all figured out right now. And where it's figured out is the space that's free of thinking. It's not a thought process. It's a space beyond words. The unknowable through language, through math. Because everything, all the comparisons, all the ideas of being an other, someone's over there doing it well and I'm not. The world is coming against me. I'm alone out here. I'm afraid. I'm disconnected. All of that's illusion. Speaking at it from a space of matter, we are made of water and minerals and cells. And we're stuff. We're just stuff combined. And so is the grass underneath me and the tree behind me. All of it is made of the same stuff, just different elements put together to create a puzzle piece that then creates this image of an idea of a puzzle. And all of it's just pieces put together. So rather than seeing myself as just this individual otherness, this thing on its own, that's not getting it right and can't figure it out, I remember I can come back. I remember I come back to the space of being all of it, truly made of all of it. And in between, if I narrow down to all the spaces, the most minute space between all of those elements that create my body, there's just space. That's science, baby. It's just space. Space between everything. And it's great because it just represents illusion. It represents that this all is a figment. And the true nature of my being is that open space. The space that connects it and binds it all. is me. I'm the grid. And all the puzzle pieces are put into me. And you. And then there's this idea, the real illusion is this idea that I'm separated from all of it. I'm separated from everyone else and that I'm failing something. I'm not failing anything. Everything is the way it's supposed to be. It's all falling into place the way it's supposed to, even if it looks completely wrong. And relation really helps us understand that. Right now in the United States, if you are more liberally minded, you vote Democrat, or if you're seeing what's happening politically speaking, and it just is anarchy in some degree. It's absolute chaos. It's dismantling of democracy. And it feels like the world is ending. But it's such a privileged point of view. There are so many people, so many lives over the course of time, and even in the present moment, who couldn't even come close to understanding the privilege we've had as Americans. The bounty of our experience. The freedom that we've had. And if we compare ourselves to everyone else and say, I don't have it. We can't even begin to compare what our lives have been like. And things will shift. Things will change. And there are those who are certainly dealing with fear. Fear of deportation. Fear of segregation. Racism. Bigotry. Marginalized. Held back because of sexual orientation, of gender orientation, identity. And all of that is so scary as an individual. And there's so much that we feel like we can't fight against. And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. I mention all that to say that there's this underlying current of compassion and peace that despite how attached we are to all of it, despite how attached we are to all of the story, that is true. It's always there. That freedom, that space of experience, of being with all, being free of my body, free of my story, free of my aggression, free of my hate, free of my fear, free of my judgment, my jealousies. It's real. And the way we find that is by letting go of the thought cycle that just continues to remind us, oh, remember how bad it is? It's not easy. I'm not saying it is. And I'm not saying I understand it completely myself. But I do know this. If you practice and you allow space around your grief, around your fear, and you let go of the comparative thoughts, and you start to open to the experience of being one, you will find peace. But it's your work to do, and it's my work to do. No one can do it for us. And sometimes it's not in the cards for it to happen in this lifetime. Sometimes you just have to be stuck But if you're hearing this message and you're getting anything, even if you're pushing back on it, something's being planted in your heart right now. At some point, you will see the clarity, which is always there, where you and I are the same. Let's see if we can meet there together right now, in the space of clarity, the space of love, in the space of cameras falling all over the place, trying to find a good way to hold it. Oh, goodness gracious. It's a bad tripod. It's a bad tripod. Let's see if we can meet together right now in this space, this open stillness. Beyond our body, beyond the story of our life, beyond the spacesuit that we reside in, and connect. Connect fully in love. Meditation is the knocking at that door. Because to me, meditation isn't fixing the problem. It's just showing us that there is no problem to fix. It's helping us remember the before, remember the after, the space behind the storyline, where love permeates through. So if you're comfortable, close your eyes. Find a nice sitting position, something that can keep you upright for just a moment. We're just going to meditate together for a moment. And breathe in, breathe out deeply. As you breathe in peace. Breathe out otherness, letting go of that disconnection. Opening to the idea of Advaita. Vedanta, the non-duality, breathing in peace, breathing out otherness, letting go of that singleness, breathing in peace, breathing out otherness, breathing in oneness, in this open space of open oneness, this single conscious ocean. There is no hate. There is no fear. There is no jealousy. There's nothing to compare to. It's all open ocean. It's all open sky. All open universe, vast, boundless, boundaryless, and it's in you, it's within your heart.
Breathe it in. Let go of the separation. Let go of the story of failing. This body is impermanent. This narrative is impermanent. What's real is your heart, your heart space. Not your physical heart. The heart that loves with a compassion and empathy. Noticing that story of failure and assumption, jealousy, it trickles through everyone's mind. Breathe in the peace of compassion. Breathe out otherness. May you be free. May you be at ease. May your life be filled with love and peace. I'll see you soon. Namaste.